Well, amen. If you have your Bible tonight, I invite you to take it. And we'll start in Genesis chapter number 41. Genesis chapter number 41. And tonight we're going to look at the life of Joseph, take a journey with Joseph. And teenagers will not be surprised by this, but if you're a church member, you might be nervous. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 37 and go all the way through Genesis chapter 50. Now, I talk fast, but we're not going to read 14 chapters, I promise, okay? I'm so honored that Pastor gave me the opportunity to preach tonight. It's always a blessing. I always say I just don't ever want to turn the opportunity to preach. And this weekend's been a tiring weekend. And this afternoon I told my wife, I said, I actually for the first time felt like texting Brother Scott or texting Brother Cox and saying, would you be interested in preaching tonight? Just been a kind of tiring weekend. But I want to make a comment about our church. I don't know another place where people get involved like they do here at Heritage. And yesterday, from the morning till the evening, and we were out unplugging lights and trying to finish things up. And I came in the corner and there's, like I said, 15 or 20 people still here cleaning the building, making sure things are put away. And I'm just thankfully part of this church. And I believe that God is blessing our area. And there's no doubt God is blessing this church as a result of many of the people who have been here tonight. And I want to preach on that thought tonight. And here's my topic. I'll try to introduce it and try to explain what I mean by that. We're going to look at Joseph's life. I think he's a great example of it. And here's the thought tonight. The thought is, how do you become a channel of blessing? How do you become a channel through which God can use your life to bless other people? I think of it this way, like a conduit and running water. Let's say that God is on this end and the people over here, and we want the people to get the blessing of God. Well, God needs a channel through which he can run. But too many times in our life, we cease to be the channel, or we allow things in our life to either clog up or just totally break that conduit. And Joseph's life is quite a life. My favorite Bible character is a man by the name of Uzziah. He's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He's my favorite Bible character. But there's no doubt a very close second is Joseph, because Joseph was just a man that you look at his life and you're just amazed how God used him. And so let's look at Genesis chapter 41. And this is kind of toward the end of Joseph's life, or the middle of Joseph's life, toward the end of the story that we're really familiar with. Genesis chapter 41 and verse 41. And Pharaoh, remember, that's the king of Egypt. Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. How many of y'all want to be in that situation where Pharaoh says, okay, Joseph, I know you were in prison just a few minutes ago, but now you're going to be ruler over all the land of Egypt just behind me. Verse 42. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now, we know the story and we know where Joseph's at. But man, I tell you that Joseph's about to become that channel blessing in a very, very visible way. But might I just remind you that the way to becoming a channel blessing was not an easy road. We're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to begin at Joseph's life and walk our way through and see some of the lessons that God could teach us about our lives becoming that channel of blessing. Father, we're so thankful that you've given us the Word of God. Lord, I am so honored that you've allowed me the privilege, Lord, to become a preacher. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give me tonight. Thank you for our pastor, and thank you for allowing him to allow me to speak tonight. And Lord, I pray, Lord, my heart's desire tonight, Lord, truly is to be a blessing. And Lord, I pray that as many people in this room, Lord, you've used them to bless my life. I pray, Lord, for every person in this room, I pray, Lord, that when we leave here, we would determine that we could be that conduit, that channel of blessing, Lord, through which you could be used to reach people with the cause of Christ, with the gospel, and Lord, also to encourage and to make this church even more of what you desire to be. Lord, I pray that you just give me clarity of thought. Help me to say what needs to be said and give me power and boldness, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 37. Let's look at the beginning of Joseph's life in Scripture, at least. He's about a 17-year-old boy, we know. And Joseph is just simply obeying his father. And if you know anything about Joseph's life, Joseph wasn't very well liked by his brothers. We'll look at why that was. Genesis chapter 37. Let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Now, I know sometimes in families we have squabbles. I have a sister. She's older than I am. And I remember my sister and I got along great. But there are no times my parents remind me often when we're together that we didn't always get along as well as we do now. In this family, this was more than just a squabble. If you remember, Jacob tried taking matters in his own hand and had children by four different women. Jacob made some poor choices. And Jacob now has these children. And one of these sons is Joseph. And the Bible tells us very clearly that Jacob loved Joseph more than all the rest of his children. And no doubt that you can understand why his brothers would hate him. So we see in verse number 4, they hated him. Verse number 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. We'll just skip for the sake of time. Jump over to verse number 8. Joseph has a dream and tells his brothers, basically the dream is, I had a dream and one day all of you are bowing down and worshiping me or bowing down to me. And of course his brothers didn't want to hear that from their younger brother. Verse number 8. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more. Do you kind of get the idea that Joseph's life's not going very well right now? His brothers hate him. They hate him yet the more. And now they hate him even yet the more. I mean, there's a more than a family squabble happening here. Verse number 10. He had another dream, and he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow ourselves down to thee, to the earth? And his brother envied him. Hatred, envy, but his father observed the saying. Let's go down to verse number 15. Verse number 12. We need to pick up for context. And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. Now, if your dad's favorite, and you have 11 brothers who hate you, it's probably not the best idea to leave home and go out to check on your brothers. It's probably not going to be the best idea to go do that, and you're probably not going to have the best results. But I want you to notice our first point tonight. I want you to notice what Joseph said. And he said unto him, here am I. Point number one this evening is this. When you don't feel like obeying the Father, do it joyfully and immediately. When you don't feel like obeying the Father, do it joyfully and obediently. See, what I want to do tonight is I want to, as the Scripture allows us to, walk our way through the life of Joseph and understand that Joseph didn't just all of a sudden one day end up second in command in all of Egypt. Joseph didn't wake up one day and all of a sudden he was telling people what to do and ruling. If you remember, there was a palace and there was a prison and there was Potiphar's house and there was a pit and there was slavery. There's a lot of things along the way, but every course as we go through Joseph's life, we'll learn there's something to be gathered here. And in this point, it's very obvious that Joseph probably didn't want to say, sure, Dad, I'll go right now. But you notice what Joseph just simply said, here am I. See, the Bible says some very interesting things. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. The Bible says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. See, Joseph took a menial task like going and checking on his brothers. And he said, yes, sir, and he did it right away. If you'll know the story, Joseph goes to Shechem, and they're not there, and he takes about another 12 to 15-mile journey. Now, let's just be honest. If we were obeying Dad, teenagers, and your dad said, I want you to go check on your brothers or your sisters, and you get there and they're not there, what would every teenager do? They would turn around and go back home and say, sorry, Dad, tried, but didn't work. Joseph asked a man in the field, where are my brother? And they tell him, and Joseph takes another 12 to 15-mile journey. See, Joseph wasn't just there simply with eye service. Joseph simply determined that there's been something told I need to do, and I'm going to be faithful right here and where it was. And see, because Joseph was faithful, you'll notice this, that God led him to a place that didn't seem like a very desirable location in the next part as we pick up. Genesis chapter 39. Let's look at verse number 1. If you remember the story, Joseph sold into slavery. Joseph ends up in the house of a man named Potiphar. Genesis chapter 39 and verse number 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. Oh, by the way, just in case we forgot, Joseph's father thinks he's dead. Joseph's now a slave, and he's in a man named Potiphar's house. I know sometimes it's difficult doing the right thing when people are watching. But can you imagine being a young man, free from your family, in a place of Egypt just like the world, and you're in a place where your dad thinks you're dead, your brothers hate you, they envy you. I mean, what reason does Joseph have to stay faithful to God? And we're going to learn something here, why Joseph chose to be faithful. And I just want you to know that Genesis chapter 39 is one of those chapters that you read it, and all I can do is think, wow, man, God, help me to get to the point in my life where I'm that kind of a Christian. Verse number 2. And I want, and maybe you mark things in your Bible. I try to do things when the Lord repeats himself because I think it's for emphasis. Verse number 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. See, when God was with Joseph back when he was at home with his dad, but the Bible says he's a slave in Potiphar's house. And God reminds us, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that, here it is again, the Lord was with him. And again, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I want to be the kind of Christian that God allows my life to be a blessing to others. If you are I'm trying to make sure to speak to everybody tonight. If you are an employee and you have an employer, as a Christian, I would want to be the kind of employee that God blesses my company because I'd work there. I remember I worked for a place called the Mattress Place. You can imagine we sold mattresses. And that's what I did through college. And I remember there were times where my boss said something like this to me. You know what? I believe you're doing a great job and I believe God's blessing our business. And I thought, that's what I want. I want to be the kind of salesman, not just that God would bless me because I'm around trying to spread the gospel, but that God would bless even what my hand found to do. And the Bible says the Lord is with Joseph. Verse number 4. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. And it came to pass in the time that he made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house, look at this, for Joseph's sake. Do you see, even when Joseph was a slave in Egypt, he was a channel blessing already to Potiphar. Verse number 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not all he had, said the bread which he did eat, and Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. We look at the word well-favored. I kind of always thought that meant like well-favored, like God was having his favor on him. That's really talking more about the way Joseph looked. He was a goodly person and well-favored. In other words, when the ladies in Egypt saw Joseph, he was a pretty good-looking guy. That's what that verse is talking about. Verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now, let's just take a step back and think about this story. Joseph's here back in the land of Canaan. He's with his family. He's obeying his dad. He's doing what he's supposed to do. And he has a dream that God gave him, and his brothers hate him. They hate him yet the more. Now he's thrown into a pit. And his brothers go back and tell his dad he's dead. He's now a slave in Egypt. At this point, please tell me, why should Joseph, humanly speaking, continue to do the right thing and be the kind of young, godly man he's supposed to? It's not because mom and dad are watching. It's not because people around him go to his church and they're scared that they might see him. Look, Joseph is a slave in Egypt. And Joseph chooses at this moment in his life to do something that just absolutely, I don't want to say the word impresses me, but the ability he had to do the right thing is just something that gets my attention. Verse number 8. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Now, that wasn't a prideful statement. Joseph wasn't saying, listen here, there's no one better in this house than me. He was reminding her, there's no one greater in this house than me outside of your husband. But he says, neither hath he kept back anything from me but one thing, you. See, if we want to justify things for a moment, remember, Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's married to Potiphar's wife, obviously. If Potiphar's wife wants Joseph to do something he shouldn't do, if you're a slave, you a lot of times do things you don't want to do. And humanly speaking, I imagine that Joseph's wheels could have started turning and started saying, you know what? My dad thinks I'm dead. I'm not in the land of Canaan. I'm in Egypt. No one knows what's going on. I'm just going to do this deed because no one else knows anyway. But the Bible says Joseph refused, and I want you to look at his answer. He said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? See, my point number 2 is this. Wherever you are, no matter the circumstance that you're in, always practice the presence of God. See, Joseph, if you knew anything about the land of Canaan, that is where God dwelt. That's where Abraham fled to. And that's the promised land, if you would, at this point in time. And Joseph's over in Egypt. He's in the world. But you know what? It did not matter geographically where Joseph was. Because if he was in Egypt or if he was back in Canaan, no matter where he was, if he was checking on sheep in Shechem, he knew that God was there. And he said, no matter if anyone else sees this Potiphar's wife, God does, and I will not sin against God. May I remind you of something? People are always watching. I don't know how the story would have turned out, but I know this. Joseph would not have ended up in prison at this time, and he would not have met the baker and the butler had he not done exactly what he did. See, as you go along Joseph's life, you think, he was just trying to obey his dad, and now he gets thrown into a pit, and now he's just trying to do the right thing in the house, and now he ends up in prison. And we look at Joseph's life, and we can think, poor Joseph. But may I remind you that in the back stages of life, God, in our lives are almost, if you would, like pawn pieces. And God's moving our lives because God has a bigger purpose and a bigger plan for your life. And may I remind you that all of us have bad days. And there's times in all of our lives when things go poorly. May I remind you what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter number 11? He said this, "But if a man live many years, and let him rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they be many." See, Joseph's about to enter a time in his life, and he's going to be in jail for 2 years, and I'm sure that nothing about this time we would think about is fun. But see, Joseph, it didn't matter where he was, Joseph recognized if God is going to make him a channel blessing, he's got to practice the presence of God. Now let's look at the rest of the story to make sure we understand what happens. Let's look at verse number 16. "And she laid up his garment by her, and unto his lord came home. And she," that's Potiphar's wife, "spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." Now, it would be hard enough for Joseph to do the right thing and flee temptation, flee lust. But now he's going to be accused of the very thing that he said he would not do. And he's being accused by the very woman who he said no to. And she goes to her husband, verse number 19. "And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she had spoken to him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison." Now, I've heard some people think here that maybe Potiphar didn't think that poorly of this situation. He simply did it because his wife said it. If you're interested sometime in doing a cross-reference, I'd encourage you to find that you're in your Bible, Psalm chapter 105. I'll read a few verses here. You're welcome to join me. Psalm chapter 105, verses number 16 through verse number 22. We'll just read three of those verses tonight. But the Bible gives a little bit more commentary on what happened in this situation. And here it is. "Moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread." That's, of course, talking about Joseph. But listen to verse 7. "He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters." See, Joseph wasn't in a prison enjoying himself and just there kind of enjoying life. Joseph was in a place where he was, where mostly they would think that this would be a Pharaoh would send the prisoners who he just hated. And he was in a place and he was bound in fetters. Now, let's look at Joseph's life for a second. Joseph obeys his dad. He ends up in a pit. Joseph says, "I'm going to practice the very presence of God." Now he ends up in prison. At what point would you say, "I just give up"? At what point would you say, "Look, my mom and dad, they think I'm dead. My brothers hate me. Nothing's going right. I'm in prison. I mean, let's just give up on this, and I'm just going to live for myself." I want you to notice what Joseph does. Verse number 19. "It came to pass when his..." I'm sorry, verse number 20. "And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Verse 21 gives us a lot of insight. "But the Lord was with Joseph." Do you see wherever Joseph goes, do you notice something? God's with him. You know what I want for my life? I want my life to be a life that God would say, "Hey, you know what, Jesse Ladd, the Lord's with that young man." That's what I want for my life. And not in a prideful way in any way, but I want God to be able to use my life to be a channel blessing. And I know every person in this room wants God to use their life to be that channel blessing. But I remind you, Joseph first obeyed his dad immediately, without arguing. Joseph practiced the presence of God, and now he's in prison. Verse 22. "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. See, no matter where Joseph is, if it's the pit, if it's back at home, if it's in Potiphar's house, or if it's in the prison, God is blessing Joseph. And God is making everything he does to prosper. God is making Joseph a channel of blessing. If you know the rest of the story, a good situation kind of happens. He's in prison. He meets two guys, a baker and a butler. They have a dream. Let's pick the story up in verse number 18 of chapter number 40. Chapter 40, verse number 18. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall bring and hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them. God, Joseph's used of God to interpret a dream. And here's what happens. He said, remember me when you go back to Pharaoh. Tell him I'm the one that told you what was going to happen. Verse number 23. As if there's not enough detours in Joseph's life already, verse 23. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Now, I know we keep on stepping back, but I like putting myself in the story because I think I get it more. When my brothers hate me and I'm trying to simply obey my dad, that would discourage me. When I'm thrown into a pit and I'm sold into slavery and my dad thinks I'm dead, I'm about ready to give up. When I go to Potiphar's house and I do the right thing and I turn down an adulterous relationship because it's the right thing to do, although no one else, and I practice God's presence, and I'm thrown into prison, man, at what point, honestly, at what point do you finally say enough's enough? But see, Joseph wasn't living for himself. And Joseph recognized that no matter where he was, he still had to be one thing, and that word is faithful. And not just faithful to his dad because his dad thinks he's dead, not faithful to his brother, and not faithful to his church, but above all, Joseph was going to be faithful to God. And now the story is very interesting. Joseph interprets a dream, and I'm sure Joseph's starting to think, just a couple days and I'm out. You know the rest of the story? A couple years go by. Another dream happens. Oh, by the way, I want to give you one of the other points on this channel of blessing. Number 3, in the times of great adversity, stay faithful to God. As a pastoral staff member, we get a chance to hear prayer requests, and I always tell people, sometimes being a pastoral staff member, you find out about things first. It's kind of interesting. It's kind of great. But a lot of times, when you're a pastoral staff member, you find out about things, and it's not interesting. It's not great. I'm not the pastor of this church, and I'm very thankful that I'm not. But I know the burden, some of the burden, just by being around pastors. I see him when he comes in the office and something's happened to one of your lives or something's happened in a marriage in our church. And I don't always know who it is, but I know the pastor will say, just pray, there's a family in our church who's hurting. I know sometimes he comes in and he just taught the bank or taught the contractor and he's just deflated, just something else had happened that week. I know sometimes he comes in and the family, something's going on and someone's leaving our church or something happening. And I've been there, I've experienced that a little bit. But do you see, Joseph is just, if we, humanly speaking, Joseph is just getting deflated. And Joseph, we would say, humanly speaking, look, Joseph, just quit. Remember Job's wife said to Job, hey, Job, just curse God and die. I mean, enough's enough. But may I remind you of something? We read in the beginning of our night tonight, the end of the story. And God's going to take Joseph and do something absolutely amazing with Joseph. And God is going to extend and continue the posterity of Israel because of Joseph and because he obeyed God. But along the way, there's lots of places to turn off the road and just quit. May I tell you, there's some people that I'm looking at right now that are going through some dark days right now. I'm looking at some people who have battled health issues recently. Some families who are just going through some discouraging things. You know, the interesting thing, though, most of us, no one knows what we're going through. We look out and I see you smile and you see me smile and we all can put on a great face and look like everything's great. But every person in this room could tell some story of something right now in life that seems like, again, something else is going on. And when that happens, I want you to remember that there's a Bible character named Joseph who determined he was going to stay faithful no matter what God threw at him and no matter what the world threw at him, because he recognized that God had a plan for his life. And even in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of dark days, Joseph said, you know what? I'm going to stay faithful to God. Let's jump over to chapter number 41, if you don't mind. Chapter 41 and verse number 28. This is the same story we started with, but let's get a little bit more context here. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. This is Joseph out of prison talking to Pharaoh to interpret a dream.
What God is about to do is show them to Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall rise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass. Now, if I'm Joseph, and I live my life, I'm going to use the term counting the blocks or keeping count. I'd begin scheming and thinking, okay, let me think here. Pharaoh is about to face a famine, and I'm in prison, and I'm going to interpret a dream for him. What can I get out of this? I would start thinking, you know what, Pharaoh, I'll tell you what. I'll interpret a dream for you, but here's the deal. If I interpret the dream for you, you get me out of prison. See, Joseph didn't say any of that. Joseph didn't say, hey, look, if I interpret this dream, you make me second in command. See, there were no strings attached. Joseph was just simply doing what God had told him to do. And God told him to interpret the dream. Verse number 33, you want to prove it? Here it is. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. If I were Joseph, you know what I would have said? Hey, Pharaoh, I got a good idea. I will come and I will help you get through this situation. I can help you. But Joseph didn't say it. Joseph said, Pharaoh, you need to choose out a wise man discreet. Verse 34. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Verse number 37. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is. See, along the line, we would say, Joseph, just give up. I mean, Joseph, you've been through enough, haven't you? But see, if we could know Joseph's story, if he could have, and Joseph could have been looking ahead and knowing, look, if I can just survive this pit, if I can just survive the hatred for my brethren, if I can just survive the prison, if I can just survive Potiphar's house, then someday Pharaoh himself is going to look at me and say, look, that you're a man who the Spirit of God is. But you know the problem with most of us? I'm including myself. That most of us want that statement now. See, the Bible talks a lot about not putting someone who's a novice or an amateur in a position of leadership. You know the reason why that is? Because God brings us to a place where someday He may say to us, look, I have something great for you to do. But do you know it doesn't start when you first get saved the week after you're saved? You know what? There's people in this church who have been here since our inception, almost 15 years now. Many people in this church I have the utmost respect for have been in church 2 and 3 times longer than I've been alive. And I love you and I appreciate you. But you know what? You may have lived your entire life and thought, you know what? I feel like God hasn't used me in a way yet that I really want to be used. Do you know that there's a moment in time where God created you for? And it may have already passed for you, but you know what? I want to say this to our older members of a church. There is no one I look up to more in this church for counsel and for guidance and people I look at their life and say, I want to finish strong than the people in our church who are grandparents and who are older. See, you may start to think, you know, I'm 65 or 70 or 75 or 80 and, you know, I just can't come out to visitation anymore. You know what? I just can't be in Sunday school class or I can't serve in that ministry anymore. May I tell you that the greatest days that you have are the days that you're alive right now. Because when we've been in youth ministry, I remember my wife and I, we always used to choose the young couples who had lots of energy. And I realized I made a major mistake. I was 20, 21, 22 years old. And I'd always choose other couples who were like us. But you know the problem they were? They were all like us. No kids. Have no idea much about life outside of I went to college and now I'm working a job and I'm going to work with teenagers. Do you know that there is something so valuable about a person who has lived their life, who has stayed faithful to God for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. A person who has grandchildren who are following God, living for God. Look, I want to find someone who has faithfully raised their family and who has children and grandchildren who are faithful. I want to watch your life, and you may not know it, but this guy right here, he is watching your life, and as you're doing things, I'm looking and saying, I want to finish strong. I want to be like that guy. Look, if that's you and you're in the room tonight, don't give up, because your day when maybe not Pharaoh, maybe not the President of the United States, but the day is coming where God's going to put you in the position where you can really be a blessing. But if you give up now and you quit now, or you choose to say, you know what, I'm tired of being obedient, I'm tired of the days of darkness, I'm done with it. Look, you can still be in church and you can still serve God, but you may miss out on being that channel of blessing that God wants to use you for. verse number 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thee. Verse 43. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now we know the rest of the story. We'll fast forward. Joseph goes, and for all these years of plenty, Joseph stores back grain. 7 years, there's plenty. Everyone's enjoying it. But there's 7 years of famine coming. They're over in the land of Canaan, and everything seems to be going pretty well. And all of a sudden, they run out of food. Jacob sends Joseph's brothers to go get food in Egypt. Now, let's just put ourselves in the story for a second. You've been to prison. You've been to a pit. You've been a slave because of 10 brothers who chose to do you harm. And you're there one day, and you're the second ruler in Egypt, and they walk in before you. Just honest question, what would you do? Years and years of bitterness maybe you would have in your heart. Years and years of unforgiveness. Hey, look, you know what many of us are? We live our lives stacking the blocks, keeping score. You know what too many marriages have the problem with? Too many marriages are thinking, well, he said this, and so she owes me, or he owes me, or you know what, you did this to me last week, or you know, 5 years ago, you did this, and I'm never going to let you forget about that. And may I remind you of something? If you live your life that way, you will never be in a place to be the blessing that God wants you to be. Because, see, bitterness in our hearts, unforgiveness, a lack of love, lack of compassion, those are clogs in that conduit of God's blessing. And see, Joseph, they come before him, And we read in the story that Joseph is choked up and Joseph has to dismiss himself. And finally, there comes a day that Joseph's going to reveal himself to his brethren. Let's take a look at that tonight if we could. Chapter number 45. Chapter number 45 and verse number 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Can you imagine being there? If you were one of those 10 brothers and you knew what he had been through, you thought he was dead, you didn't know what happened to him, and a guy that's second in command in Egypt looks at you and says, hey, look, guys, I'm Joseph. What do you think's coming next? If I'm those brothers, I'm getting really scared, and I'm thinking, I wish I would have been with Reuben where he said, let's not kill him. I want to be back with Reuben. I'm sure they're thinking back and their mind is playing. And look, by the way, they're in a time of famine. Hey, look, death is facing them. And who does God bring them to? And if you think about poetic justice, we can look and say, oh, it's Joseph's turn. But look what Joseph said. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. In other words, I think if I was Joseph, I'd say, did you hear my question? Answer me already. But in verse number 4, and Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me. Now I bet they're thinking, he's going to kill us. Come near to me. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. Oh, I bet now they're thinking, he does remember. Verse 5. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. If you mark things in your Bible, I would mark this. For God did send me before you to preserve life. See, his brothers are thinking what they did to him, but Joseph says, God did this. You sold me, but God sent me before you. Do you know what kind of Christian character and what kind of godliness that would take to look your brothers in the face and say, look, guys, come close. You didn't do this. God sent me here exactly where I'm at today. Verse number 6. For these 2 years hath the famine been the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Wow. You didn't do this. You guys sold me to slavery. Hey, by the way, he never brings up the pit. He doesn't bring up, by the way, you know what happened to me in Potiphar's house? Hey, he doesn't say, you know, I've been in prison for the last couple of years because of what you did to me. See, Joseph's mind is totally different than that, because Joseph recognized that in the backstage of life, God is working in all the situations to bring Joseph to a point where he can be used of God in a miraculous way. Verse number 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Let's jump over to chapter number 50. Very last chapter of Joseph's life. And if we're in chapter 50, you know that means we're wrapping it up. Genesis chapter 50, we've been through, I think, 13 chapters. All right, that was pretty fast, wasn't it? Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 15. Now, if you're Joseph's brothers and you don't believe that he really is going to be serious about this, you're thinking one thing. As long as Dad's alive, we're okay. As long as Jacob's alive, then he's not going to hurt us because, look, he's Daddy's favorite and he'd never do anything to break Daddy's heart. Guess what? Chapter 50, verse 15, Daddy dies. Verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us. Hey, who hated Joseph? They did. Hey, they said, Joseph's going to now give us what we really deserve. He's going to hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which he did in him. Do you know what most of us live our lives doing? Stacking the blocks and keeping count. Hey, look, I know you forgave me, but I want you to know someday I'm going to bring it up again. You know, the worst thing when I'm talking to somebody and they say something like, yeah, you know, a couple years ago I did this to help you out. I'm thinking, you remember that? You're keeping count of that? And by the way, I've done the exact same thing too. So we all do, don't we? And too many times we live our lives keeping count, stacking the blocks and saying, well, whose turn is it? And they say, you know what? He's going to come back and he's going to get what we deserve. Verse number 16. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command thee before he died, saying, and by the way, their father didn't say any of this. This is all a lie. Verse 17. So shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. They now say, hey, look, go tell, messenger, go tell Joseph, hey, Dad said you're supposed to forgive us. What would have been a better idea? 10 brothers walking to Joseph and say, Joseph, you know what? Dad's dead, and we want you to know we're wrong. We're sorry. See, they never even asked for forgiveness. They sent through a messenger and a lie. But look what Joseph does. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. See, Joseph's a man full of God. Joseph's a man who's been faithful. Joseph, a man who's full of compassion. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Verse number 19. And Joseph said to them, fear not. For am I in the place of God? Here it is, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. See, our entire lives, we can look at our life and say, you know what? This person did me wrong and they tried to harm me. But you know what Joseph did? Joseph took a step back and said, look, the pit, the hatred, the jealousy, Potiphar's wife, the baker, the butler, all those things that I went to, yeah, people sought to harm me, but I remember this, that God was working in my life for good. Look what he says he did. But God meant it good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear you not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. My last thing I wrote down here is this. Don't live your life keeping score and always looking to stay one ahead of others. Look, you know what a marriage killer would be? To keep reminding someone about something they did ask for forgiveness 5 years ago or 3 weeks ago. You know what it's like to be a child and have an ought with your family? Hey, parents, look, when your kids ask you to forgive them, forgive them. Kids, when your parents do something wrong and they say to you, hey, I'm wrong, forgive them. Because you know what happens? The Bible describes bitterness as lest any root of bitterness springing up and there many be defiled. See what happens when people get bitter? It doesn't just affect you, it affects everyone around you. And may I let you know this? If you're a disobedient, unforgiving liar who won't allow the things of this earth to be forgotten, I just want you to know you will never be the channel of blessing God wants you to be. Never. You can't do it. I want this in my life. See, we could sum Joseph's life really easy. Ready for it? Joseph desired to be like the Lord. You say, how do you know it? Look at his life. The Lord was with Joseph. Pit, the Lord's with Joseph. Potiphar's house, the Lord's with Joseph, the Lord's with Joseph. Lord. Now Joseph's thrown into the prison, the Lord's with Joseph. You know what Pharaoh said? This is a young man in whom the Spirit of the God is. See, Joseph just simply was like God. And you know what our Savior was like? Remember they spat upon him? Remember when he's in the garden and the disciples wanted to fight and he said, no, See, when they were hanging him on the cross, just remember that our Savior was dying for the very ones who were driving the nails in his feet and hands. See, Joseph was like Christ. Joseph wasn't perfect, but Joseph is such a good example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's all sum up in all this. I want God to use my life to be a channel of blessing. I want to be a blessing to my family. I want our youth department to be better because God has allowed my wife and I to be a channel blessing to these teenagers. I want this church to be affected in a positive way because my wife and I are here. If I work a job, I want my job to have favor because of my life. And every one of you all can, in your mind right now, picture what that is for you. But I know this, I will never, ever be the channel blessing God has for me if I stop and don't think about the fact that God allows things into my life that may not make any sense. Brother Brandon, can you throw that screen up on the screen? On the right-hand side, this is a beautiful tapestry. If you look at it, you'll see it looks really nice. It's not beautiful, but it at least gets the point across. But that's the back of it. And see, the author, when they're making that, the artist, they're not thinking about, no one's going to see the back of it. But see, the author of this tapestry knows exactly, the designer, the artist knows exactly what he's doing in the front. But if you're looking at the back of that and you say, you know what, this doesn't make, why did he go there? And why is that yarn moved that way? But see, all we see is this. We don't see the back. And may I tell you that God is trying to do something beautiful with your life. And you may look at the other side right now, the back side, and think, you just don't know what I'm going through, Jesse. I mean, you just cannot imagine what we're going through. And may I remind you that God is in control of your life. Whatever you're going through, whatever situation, whatever someone's thrown at you, whatever you feel like, I just can't get over it. May I remind you of this? The Bible talks about be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. You know the reason why? Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The reason for living our life is because Jesus Christ. Our effectiveness, our channel blessing is related to one thing, and it's your yieldedness to Jesus Christ. Simple question. How yielded are you to Jesus Christ? What areas of your life need some work? Let's have a word of prayer. We'll all stand if you don't mind. I have a time of invitation. The altar will be open, and I just encourage you, if God has spoken to your heart about being a channel blessing, or maybe some area of your life that you know you're struggling with, may I just encourage you, when we get done praying, find a place to pray tonight. Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. Lord, I'm so thankful that you give us people in the Bible like Joseph. And Lord, I know he was not a perfect man. But Lord, his example is such a godly example, Lord, of how we should live our lives. I pray, Lord, in my life, Lord, I want to be a channel of blessing. I want to be totally yielded to you. And Lord, I pray tonight that those who are listening to your word being preached, I pray that they would respond accordingly, Lord, and that we'd do business with God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sing tonight, hymn 162, Lord, I'm coming home. Altar's open for you. You want to come, clean out that channel, and allow the Lord let you be a blessing as we sing.
I've won.